listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. I'll be your chauffeur and guide as we cruise through the highway and various regions of the blues on our ultimate blues tour. I hope within the next hour and in subsequent shows I can introduce you to the blues in its many forms. We'll take a musical road trip and cruise the many waters of the blues from the early 20th century through its evolution to today and where it's headed tomorrow. So join me this next hour as we start cruising the blues. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Yeah, you got me licking gravy, baby.
Hey, today on our blues cruise, we're heading down the Mississippi River, and we're making a stop at the National Blues Museum in St. Louis, Missouri. It's strategically centered at 6th and Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis, and it's in the hub of St. Louis's convention and tourism district. It's very easy to find. This is a new museum that just opened up in April of 2016 and walks you through the history of the blues from its earliest foundings through today's blues and the effects and foundational qualities the blues has had in all music genres through the ages. I had the opportunity to visit this museum recently and had the added privilege of meeting the museum founding executive director, Dion Brown, who is here with me today to give us a virtual tour of the museum and tell us some of the background to its foundation, purpose, and future goals. Well, welcome to the show, Dion.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate you having us on your show.
Oh, our pleasure. Now, I know that the National Blues Museum is relatively new, opening in 2016. So tell me about its inception, whose idea it was, and how St. Louis became the home of it.
Right. Great question. So it all came about in 2010 when they used to have an annual blues festival here called Blues Week. And it grew and grew and grew. And after the blues festival, the way the story is told to me, a couple of the guys said, you know, we ought to have a St. Louis Hall of Fame. And so that's the way they pursued it there for a short time until they brought a consultant in. They said, if you're going to go big or go home. And they said, and call it the National Blues Museum. And when they checked around, there wasn't a National Blues Museum. Yeah. And so that's when they came up with the idea. And just like at the B.B. King Museum where I used to work at prior to here, they started out in a little storefront. And again, the consultant said, go big or go home. So instead of being in a 300, 500 square foot place, it ended up growing into a 23,000 square foot place. Mm. So, and really picked up momentum in 2014 when Lumiere Casino stepped up with a $6 million donation, and the rest is history. We're here now.
Oh, man.
That was in like November of 2014, and I was hired in June of 2015, and when I got here, it was an empty shell. I mean, in 3 or 4 months, it was so many people in here, you couldn't even walk around. And I mean, they were finished pretty much 99% by October, and we held off till April to open to make sure everything was working properly and hiring a staff.
Wow, that's a great story. Now, your purpose, I see in your mission statement, one of the things is it says the museum is to be a premier entertainment and education resource focusing on the blues as the foundation of American music. And I also read somewhere it's dedicated to preserving the historical contribution of the blues. Could you just expound on that for my listeners today a little bit?
Would love to. You know, so we preserve in the blues. You know, there's so many different things we're able to do here at National Blues Museum. So one of the things we do, we have a performance area. And we do, in that performance area, we sit 130 people. Our capacity is 180, but seated is 130. So every Friday and Wednesday, we do live blues shows. And they're aired on our Facebook page. So if you like us on Facebook, every Friday night, I mean, we've had people from Croatia, all over the world watching. It's just amazing. Wow. And then on the educational component, we've brought in one of our favorites here in St. Louis is Marquise Knox.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a panel discussion with the community. We recently had a program where we brought in Medgar Evers' daughter and Dennis Dixon. And so they did a panel discussion. We partnered with the local colleges and high schools. And we're just doing some great programming on that aspect.
Wow.
But then because we're at National Blues Museum, we have people like Bonnie Raitt has stopped by the museum and she fell in love with it. Joseph Morganfield, son of Muddy Waters, he's been here. So people navigate to the museum to tell the story. Just recently, this past Sunday, Reverend Sean Amos was in town touring, and he stopped and wanted to just play at the National Blues Museum.
Wow.
Well, part of our mission, I know I'm giving you a lot of information, and if you want to slow me down, slow me down.
No, go.
But what we do is every part of our performances is an educational piece to the audience that gives them some educational component about the blues, what its meaning is, and how it's diverse off of American music. So it's really a great revenue, and we just started scratching the surface.
Wow, that's great. And now you said Marquis Knox is, he's a young guy. It's really an amazing musician. What part did you just say he played?
He's one of our favorite musicians.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, I've seen.
But he did a panel discussion with our director of internal affairs, Jackie Days.
Oh yeah.
And we've had a probation officer who, and we did a preview of the movie called the documentary called 13 and about civil rights. And so what he did is talk to all these teens. We partnered with different fraternities, and we had about 85 teens in the building. And they got to see Marquis Knox, who was on their age level. Well, he's a little older, but somebody that they can relate to.
Right.
Versus having a 50-year-old man talk to them. Here's somebody their age, and their age group, anyway, that can relate to what those kids are saying. It was just a powerful program.
That's just super.
Speaking of Marquis Knox, let's hear a couple of tunes of his, starting from an album called Man Child, a song called Sometimes I Wonder, followed by America's Blues off his Here I Am album. Marquis Knox on Cruisin' the Blues with Mr. Jack. Home.
Won't you just stop by for a little while? Please, please, won't you just stop by for a little while? All I need to do is just see you. I'm worried, my. You know, I've been wondering about my poor wife and child. Yes, 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 I've been wondering, baby, about my poor wife and child. I love you, baby. Without you, baby, I can't be satisfied. Everybody thinks It's all left up to your president. You look at the last 10 years, you see where all your money been spent.
Really displays a strong influence of the music or blues influence of the music of today's musicians, and so tell my audience how such musicians as Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones or the jazz musicians such as Wynton Marsalis fit into the blues world.
You know, the way they fit into the blues, and Keith Richards he'll say it. You know, that's where they got hooked on music, is listening to the old blues that they were given. There's a saying in the museum, I think Keith says it, that's Wynton Marsalis, one of them, said the blues had a baby and they named it rock and roll. I believe that's Keith Richards' comment.
Oh, sure.
And it's so true. Wynton Marsalis, he's in the museum and he has a quote. It's the influence of that American form that just grabs and gravitates, no matter what genre you listen to. The Rolling Stones talk about it. I hear so many stories from people saying that how they would listen to it overseas. I mean, one of my board members, he says, yeah, it's blowing me away to be a part of this institution. I read it about it when I lived overseas, but to come here and actually hear it firsthand, and that's what this museum does, sir. You tour the museum, and at the end of your experience, you'll see a live show if you choose to, or to have blues musicians just popping in and to actually physically see them and talk to them. They think it's an honor, just people really want to see them. They'll come by and just set up the table and sign autographs all day.
That's
their way of giving back. They're just so happy to have a blues museum.
The museum, also is, I've seen interactive displays at museums before, but I was intrigued by and enjoyed very much the interaction stations at the National Blues Museum. Where, you know, the visitor gets a chance to actually create their own blues persona and music, and I thought it was great as I went through the museum. I wish I could have arrived earlier because I only had about a couple of hours, and I'll tell you what, I could have spent all day there and probably gone back the next, and you guys have done a wonderful job. So tell me about these interactive displays. Tell my audience a little bit more about those, please.
Yeah, I wish I could take full credit for that, but like I said, I came on and the plans had already been in place, but that's one of the cornerstones of the museum, is the interactives that we have. So what happens when you come in, you can create your own persona, as you say, and then from that, you create your own blues riff. You'll write the word, you'll write your actual riff. Mm. And what you do is you save it under your email address. Then throughout the museum, there's different interactives, and one of them is a harmonica workstation, guitar workstation, and a piano.
Yeah.
And so you put all those on, so as you put in your email address, it tracks what you're doing. So that piano track you just created is tied to that riff you wrote. And at the end of it, you go into the Jack White mix it up room. And there, you literally mix it up and hit send, and it sends you your own personal MP4 file to take with you.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's an awesome experience.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is just... Yeah, I'm honestly looking forward to coming back as soon as I can, believe me. And I'm hoping that our show today will have others just want to put this in their vacation plans, to be honest with you. That's my...
Hey, we would love to have them, but until they can make it here, if they want to hear some great, not just local, national, and regional blues, tune in on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and you can sit in the comfort of your own home and enjoy a nice... concert every Friday night from 7 to 10 and Sundays from 4 to 7.
Ah, sure. That's great. That's great to know. And let's say I'm planning to come to the museum personally. What would you say just a figure if there, I don't know if they can even do this, but what would be a minimal time period that you would say I should spend at the museum to get I don't know how to question this, but
yeah, but get the full experience.
Yeah.
In an ideal situation, we tell everyone to allocate 2 to 3 hours to the museum. Now, people do come in, and you know, we're connected close to the conference center here at America Center. So people will come. come in on breaks, on breakout sessions. They'll come in, so they'll zip through in an hour.
Okay.
But they all leave saying the same thing. We'll be back because we couldn't do everything we wanted to do. But if you touch and do every interactive, that's going to take you a good 2.5 to 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe throw a concert in on, if you come on a Friday night or a Sunday, you know, come towards the end so you can be here in time for the concert. You don't have to leave and come back. But what we do, if you do come during the week and find you're here for the, going to be here over Friday, you can come in on a, any day of the week and buy a combo ticket, and that ticket gets you back into the concert that following Friday or that Sunday, whichever one you choose.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
We're talking today with Mr. Dion Brown, the founding executive director of the National Blues Museum in St. Louis, Missouri. This is the only museum in the USA dedicated to an overall view of the blues and its influence in American music. I had the privilege to visit it recently and also meet Dion Brown, who has taken some time today to talk to us about the National Blues Museum. We just got done talking about the blues influence on the modern day music. We mentioned Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, so let's hear a cut off of Keith's latest solo release, Cross-Eyed Heart, and then we'll get back into our conversation with Mr. Brown and the future plans for the National Blues Museum. Well, there you have a couple of cuts off of the Keith Richards solo album, Cross-Eyed Heart. This is Mr. Jack of Cruising the Blues with Mr. Jack. And we'll be right back and talk some more with Dion Brown, the executive director of the National Blues Museum in St. Louis, Missouri. Stay tuned.